Hello, everybody on the party line. What would you say if your good and faithful husband came home all battered and bruised, with a handkerchief tied around his head, and he claimed that he had gone for a drive with a pretty young lady in an expensive car, and that the expedition had ended in an auto crash? Or perhaps more to the point, if you were the good, faithful husband in question, what would you say to your wife? Just such a painful problem confronts Clem today, and Aggie, who doesn't yet know of Clem and Curly's adventurous ride. We'll join Clem in just a moment as he enters the kitchen door. But first, party liners, here is a mother perhaps just like you. Be sure to listen closely to what she has to say.
Ever since the children were babies, we always used Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin combined with laxative senna compound as our family laxative. But then several months ago, things took a turn for the worse for us. Next time I needed a laxative, I bought another kind that was cheaper than syrup pepsin. Mothers, don't let yourself be tempted into buying harsh, cheap, unknown laxatives for your family. I have regretted it ever since I did, because I saw how harshly this medicine acted and how harsh it must have been on tender little inner workings. It took this to make me realize that my family's health is worth much more than any few pennies I might be able to save. Now we're back on syrup pepsin again, and certainly know that syrup pepsin is the most economical laxative for us.
Thank you very much, Party Line Mother. That's the advice it will pay you to remember, friends. Don't let anything tempt you away from syrup pepsin for your family. Get syrup pepsin on the positive money-back basis that it must be the finest laxative you and your family have ever tried, or your druggist will refund every cent you paid for it. Get a bottle of syrup pepsin at your own drugstore today. We can see Clem and Aggie's home from a distance at this moment on a clear, cold evening. It looks as cheerful and inviting as ever. It's after 7 o'clock. The table is set, but no food has been served. Aggie walks nervously from one side of the room to the other, peers out the window, goes up to the front of the house, comes back again. Suddenly, there's a knock at the door.
Oh!
Aggie hurries across to the door. The door is open, and there in the bright flood of kitchen light stands Clem, blinking and trying to grin. The handkerchief, bound carelessly about his head, is stained with blood. No wonder Aggie is speechless for one horrified moment.
Clem! Clem, what's happened to you?
Why, nothing much, my dear. Nothing much. Just calm yourself. Oh. I'm reasonably okay.
Come inside, Clem, for goodness sakes. What happened to your head? Oh, Clem, what's happened? What's happened?
Just a very small accident, my dear. A minor automobile accident.
Where? When? Oh, Clem, where have you been?
Well, my dear, it's a kind of a long story. Sounds like we're going to have something good for supper.
Clem!
Beg your pardon, my dear?
Clem, here I've been just sick worrying about you for the past 2 or 3 hours. I called up all over town. You wasn't anywhere. There was your car down at the square, but where was you?
Well, my dear...
Where was you? Oh, heaven only knows. But I got my awful suspicions, especially after I heard what I heard.
Well, now, I can see that.
And then you come home looking like something out of a murder story. Well, all cut and bandaged up, fit to scare a body out of her wits.
Oh, my.
And you stand there without a word of explanation, talking about supper.
But, my dear little girl...
After I've suffered and worried and fretted myself to death all these hours, and you stand there asking about supper.
Well, that's just the part, my dear. After you've been waiting all this while, I should think supper would be a most interesting thing in the world to you, as well as to me.
Oh, I couldn't touch a bite, of course. I suppose your appetite is as good as ever.
Well, just allow me to wash up a bit at the sink, and I'll be glad to prove to you how good my appetite is.
Clem.
Eh?
There must be something wrong with you. You wouldn't treat me like this if you... Oh, Clem, is there something wrong with your head? Inside, I mean.
Agatha, I ain't ever had luck inside to see.
Clem, I'm going to call the doctor.
Wait a minute now. I just got a scratch on the side of my face from my glasses when I was thrown up against the windshield.
Thrown up against the windshield? Oh, Clem, if you don't tell me the whole story right now, I'm going out of the door and I'm never coming back.
Just give me a minute to wash some of the dirt off my hands, my dear. I'll be right with you. In the meantime, just calm yourself. The worst is over, and there's nothing for you to worry about.
Nothing for me to worry about? Husband disappears for 3 or 4 hours. I sit here waiting with a lovely supper boiling on the stove, and there's nothing to worry about.
The old Clement G. Tuttle is beginning to reappear from beneath the grease and dirt. Agatha, I'm glad to be home. And I was never so happy to see my own sweet little wife before. How about a kiss?
It's Clem Tuttle. Don't you dare touch me. Not before you sit down and clear yourself.
Well, I'd be happy to do that, especially if I could clear a plate full of victuals at the same time, my dear.
Not a bite of supper is going on that table until I know where you've been, with whom, for what, and why.
Where I've been, with whom, what for, and why?
Yes.
And then do we eat?
Clem Tuttle, if you mention food again,
Now, Agatha, I'll be happy to answer your questions. The whole thing is very simple. Where have I been? Quite a number of places. That is to say, I was driving around the countryside for a few minutes this afternoon when the car I was driving in ended smack up against a tree in a ditch on the County Trunk B. With whom was I driving? With Curly.
Yes, go on.
And Marilyn's little friend, that little girl, what's her name? Miss Susan Mack.
I just bet you had a hard time thinking of her name after spending the whole day with her.
Just a moment, my dear. I ain't through with your question. What for did I go with these young people?
What do you mean, these young people?
Why, Miss Mack and Curly, who else? That's all there was.
I suppose you was the third young person.
Yeah.
You and Curly. Sarah was certainly right, only I never would have dreamed it.
Sarah was right about what, my dear?
Never mind. Go on about your story.
Agatha, it ain't no story. It's the truth.
Well, I wouldn't brag about it if I was you.
Agatha, let's get this here business over with. What for did I go on the ride? Just for the ride. Because I wanted to see what it would feel like to go floating around in a 16-cylinder locomotive as long as this here house.
That's a likely-sounding story, Clem.
Aggie, it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
You go off gallivanting with Curly and a young lady in a great, big, huge, tremendous car, and I'm supposed to believe you just went so you could have a ride in a big car.
That's the sole and only exclusive reason, Agatha. I kind of thought you'd be proud to have your husband be able to say, well, now, it's been my experience in driving in a little 16-cylinder job that did that, so forth.
Suppose you was forced into it or anything?
Forced into it? What do you mean?
Oh, maybe the young lady teased you to go along. And really wasn't your fault at all. Or maybe you did it for Curly's sake, so that he could have a ride in a 16-cylinder car.
Agatha, I went because I wanted to. And that's the end of it. It was my fault, if there's any fault to it. Curly didn't have nothing to do with my going along, nor did the young lady. It was my own desire, pure and simple, to add to my collection of interesting experiences.
I must say, this is an interesting experience to me. Oh, was that our ring?
Just
sit still, Clem. I'll see who it is.
Why the dickens don't the old lady blow up?
What'd you say, Clem?
Nothing, my dear.
Hello?
Oh, Agatha?
Why, yes. That you, Curly?
Yes, Aggie, it is. Curly. I just called up to tell you, please don't blame Clem. Mama and I got the worst...
Man, what are you talking about, Curly?
Well, I hope you'll excuse me for calling, Agatha, but Mama was so nice about the whole thing, and I was kind of afraid that Clem wouldn't be able to explain.
Well, forevermore, Curly.
The whole thing was my fault, Agatha. It was all my fault. Clem just went along to please me.
Oh, my lamb.
Well, Agatha, it's the truth. You mustn't laugh.
Now, Curly, I will do laugh if I feel like it. I sure haven't felt much like it all afternoon, so I'm going to enjoy myself now.
Agatha, you're not feeling hysterical or anything, are you?
No, I'm not feeling hysterical. It's just too funny how all this nonsense is everybody's fault. Clem just got through saying it was his fault, and you say it's yours. And 3 minutes before Clem walked into the house, your young lady friend called up and said the whole thing was her fault.
Oh, well, Mike.
Agatha, for Pete and Betty's sakes, what are you laughing at? What are you talking about?
I'm laughing at Curly, and I'm laughing at that silly little girl, and I'm also laughing at Sarah and me for being so worried. Curly.
Yes, Agatha.
If you'll excuse me, Curly, I'll hang up now and get Clem his supper.
Why, of course, you bet I will.
Well, goodbye, Curly, and thanks for calling. Well, Clem?
God darn it, Agatha. God darn it, you're a sly one. But you're going to pay for it. You had me so worried about how you take this, I'm about twice as hungry as I was before.
Thus, the great 16-cylinder adventure ended for Clem, quite as happily as it did for Curly. But Susan's visit to Monticello will have much more far-reaching results. You may be interested to know that her luxurious car was not at all badly damaged. In fact, Ted Turner and Lovejoy had it in working order the next day. Susan is already on her way to Florida. But before she left, she wrote a letter to her friend Bud Patterson in Chicago, who is also a friend of Jack Owens, Marilyn's husband, who is in Alaska. This part of the letter will interest you. And remember it. It will have important consequences.
I know, Bud, you'll be just as relieved as I am to know that Marilyn's going to get a divorce at last. It certainly is the only right thing to do, both for her sake and for Jack's sake. Who knows? Maybe he'll wake up now and grow up. And listen to this, Bud. If you had met a very handsome and charming young man down here, as I have, you'd understand why Marilyn's getting a divorce. His name's David Hunter, and he's really terrific. Handsome as a movie hero, and a terribly nice person. How's that for news? It's certainly high time Marilyn had some real romance in her life, and I think this is it. Well, Bud, after my hectic experience in Monticello, I'm about to get started for Florida.
Remember that excerpt from Susan Mack's letter. It is of the greatest importance. Party Line mothers, the cold season is here. The season when children get wet feet, when your husband and other members of the family must face changeable weather. The time when you yourself must be certain of your health so that you will be able to cope with the oncoming winter. Mother, you are the sentinel, the guardian of your family's health. You must fight on the family health frontier. But now you have an ally, a reliable fighting ally, in Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin. Let Syrup Pepsin help to keep your family regular. Let Syrup Pepsin help you fight fall and winter colds. Let Syrup Pepsin be your fighting ally on the family health frontier this winter. By all means, get that big family-sized bottle of Syrup Pepsin into your medicine cabinet beginning today. It's made according to the original prescription of a country doctor. Get Syrup Pepsin at your own drugstore. It's spelled S-Y-R-U-P, Syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Syrup Pepsin. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, and no matter what invitations you've accepted or given out, remember that we're having a celebration on the party line, and we'll count on seeing you all on the line tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day.